in the north, where he taught and performed loads of miracles. And he came and started to spend time in the temple, the big, massive, big stone building in Jerusalem. And his popularity grew. Some people loved Jesus, and other people didn't like Jesus. But there was a group of people, and this is where this is what's called an interactive talk, so you need to be listening. Who were the people? Some of the people, children and adults might know, not the little ones, because the little ones are looking at you, because you're the big guys. Who were some of the people that didn't like Jesus? Put your hand up if you know some of the people who didn't like Jesus. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? He sort of partly loved him and he partly was annoyed by Jesus. He made him angry. And the Pharisees, okay? And there were other people. Zoe, do you want to have a go? Yep. Okay, so a little bit later on, when Jesus rose again, Saul didn't like. So, and if you want to know more about that, just check with Zoe. She can tell you the story. So there were various people who didn't like. But Jesus spoke out against those who were perpetrating injustice, who did unfair things. So when people were bullies, Jesus would say, don't be a bully. All right? And these things are all about that. Unfair wages are about bullying often at work and things like that. So Jesus would speak out. Okay, I need four people. Who's going to be Matthew? Right. Dammy, and you can be Mark, okay? And you can be Luke. Who's going to be John? You can be John. Okay, I want you to go to four different points here. Split up. So somebody comes to the front. Well done. You can turn round. Somebody over there. You're there. Can you go up the back there? All right. Now, these are four different people. Who knows? These people all wrote a book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What was the book called that they wrote? Put your hand up if you know. It was called. It begins with G for goat, but it's not goat. Anybody know what their book was called? It was called Matthew's. Mark. Yep. Gospel. Okay. They each. Well done. So you're John, are you? Right. You wrote a gospel, a book about Jesus, didn't you? Where's Matthew? Okay, what did you do before you wrote a book about the gospel? You worked with Jesus. Do you know what you did for a job? Oh, you'll have to find that one out from Mum, what you did for a job. Do you know? Fisherman. No, he wasn't that one, I don't think. That Matthew, you think, was a fisherman? It was a very good guess. Did Mum or Dad tell you? Tell them they're wrong. Mum and Dad are wrong. I think you were a tax collector. Who's Mark? Are you up there? Where's Mark? Well, Mark was quite a young boy when he followed Jesus. So Peter had to tell Mark lots of his stories, probably. And who else have we got left? Where's another one? And who are you? And do you know what job you did before you wrote your gospel and you wrote the book of Acts? Right. If I said you might have, well, they had primitive stethoscopes. What do you think you did for a job? Sorry? Fishing? No, you were a bit more of an intellectual. You were a doctor probably, but another good guess. Okay. Now these four people all told slightly different stories. Okay, you can come back now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thank you. Okay, so they each had a different perspective. But also in the crowd were all sorts of different people. There was men, there was women, there was boys, and there was girls. Okay? And they were looking, here's a really difficult question, they were waiting for a very special person that would come and put the wrong things right, and that maybe some of them thought would get rid of the Romans. He didn't actually come to do that at that time. Maybe some of them thought that Jesus would actually get their religious leaders being really holy people as well. And they were expecting somebody, and this is for children, a special person that was only one was to come, and his was going to be a, begins with M. If the children don't know, I will let an adult. It wasn't be a Matthew. It was the one they were all waiting for. like you're waiting for community sports, you're eager for it to happen, you're impatient. Who would it be, right? An adult, Pauline.
A messy person.
A messy person. A mess. A Messiah. They were all waiting for a Messiah. And Jesus, when he didn't stay in Jerusalem and he wasn't living in Capernaum, which adult knows, lived in one place with his friends, Mary, Martha and Lazarus. Does anybody know? You're close. Shh, Henry, shh. You're very close. You've got the first three letters right. Yes, first four letters. I've been corrected. All right. If it wasn't actually in Jerusalem or Capernaum, where was it? You're very close, so he's giving you the clue. Go on, Henry. Bethany. He often lived there. And you know, Jesus, the day he came into Jerusalem, as far as we can tell, especially from Mark's gospel, he didn't clear all the rubbish out of the temple that day. He actually went back to Bethany that night and thought about what he was going to do, because the next day he was going to come and turn all the tables over and throw all the animals out and say, you shouldn't be in here, the animals. So Jesus was very strong. But I want you to imagine him going up to Jerusalem. And this is what people thought as they saw him. They actually thought, wow, the man that can raise the dead, and they'd heard how he'd raised Lazarus from the dead, the man that can heal people, the man that speaks truth, the man that speaks against injustice is coming. And they got very excited because 500 years before, a man called Zechariah had prophesied, and that's what we're thinking about this year, a person will come. So rejoice. Rejoice, this is a happy day, people of Zion, shout for joy, people of Jerusalem. So after this you're going to practice your shouts. Becca's got us to start to them. Look, your king, so this man, Jesus, who was a carpenter, is really a king, is coming to you. He comes triumphant and victorious, but humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. All right, Jesus didn't come in on a war horse or a charger. He didn't do that. Other religions have been led by people that took their people into battle, and Jesus didn't do that. It was a spiritual battle. And Jesus and his disciples, how many disciples? Shout it out. Far more than 12. Not just the 12, but many more. There were 12 he was very close to, you're right, but there were others. Start to go, because there's a special festival. What's the festival?
Easter.
It became Easter after Jesus did this. Who said Easter? But at this time, it was the Jewish festival of Passover. If you read your Gospels, you can read this, all right? It was the festival of Passover. And the people were excited. So some people came from outside Jerusalem. Some people were already in Jerusalem. And they said, who is this person? And can I have an adult that told me, because you had it read to you? What did they say? Who is this person? And they said, can you put your hand up? Who is this person? Aren't we part of our generation? Who is this person? It's Jesus. That's always the answer, I know. What did we run over on the road, that grey furry thing? Jesus. No, it was a squirrel. Okay. The answer is okay. So that's what they said. Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet from Galilee. They said, that's who he is. He's the one that raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus climbed onto the colt and he came through. We said they cut palm branches. Does anybody know in what gospel they tell us it was palm branches? Because it's only one gospel. Aren't I dreadful? That's why I'm telling you, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John.
Matthew.
No. It's actually the gospel of John. Your translation may say that, but actually they cut leaves and herbs from the fields. So John tells us they also cut palm branches. And they did this not because of the gravel, but because it was in homage to Jesus, not the donkey. That was their coats and their, all those, some palm branches, but also herbs and fronds from the field. So there would have been a wonderful smell as the donkey and the disciples walked and Jesus over those palm branches. And they came and the children cried out. Can the children tell me what they cried out? Because you're going to have to practice this later. I will ask you in a minute, so I'd rather unask another one. They said, "Praise to David's son. God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord." And then there was one special word. All right, I'm going to say three, and I want you to shout it as loud as you can. It's not hallelujah. It means save the people and praise the people. So one, two, three. Right, one, two, three. One, two, three. Okay, so it means both save us, rescue us, and it also means praise to God. And even in the temple, the children were crying out. They got so excited. And some grumpy religious leaders said, "Tell the children to keep quiet." And Jesus said, "Haven't you heard that it says, out of the mouths of babies you've ordained praise?" In other words, the children praising him was something wonderful. And so they were very special that day because those children were brave enough to shout out praise to Jesus. And all those people making a stack of money who were selling animals and were changing money, Jesus was very angry because they were ripping all the people off. Okay, I'm going to ask you the most important thing now before we sing a praise song is, what is this story all about? What does this incident teach you and me? Now, one thing it teaches me is that Jesus, 500 years before, they said Jesus was going to do this and he's going to come into Jerusalem. But I'd like you to, and it could be something quite unusual, we're going to come to you. I'll ask Zoe to bring you the microphone. I'd like us to do what's called the application. It's all right there. Thanks, darling. Don't worry. One thing that we can learn from this story, because otherwise it's just a story, but it's there because Jesus did it. It's a fact. But one thing we could learn, okay? So I'm being very brave. And so are you going to be. So who's? Let's see, Amanda. Amanda's going to have a go, Zoe, so if you could take it. And this is one thing that maybe we can learn from this story.
Before last week's Bible study, I didn't know that Jesus went into Jerusalem, and then he went home and thought about it, and then he went back and wrecked the temple. I thought he just went into Jerusalem and wrecked the place in a fit of righteous anger, but he actually did think about it, what he was going to do.
Okay, so Mark's gospel tells us that he went home to Bethany. Now that makes some people think that maybe he did it more than once in the temple. But it's not a contradiction, it fits in very well. He went home having seen the temple, he thought about it, he came back and he cleansed, he trashed. But it was a cleansing to say these things shouldn't be here. This is meant to be a house of prayer for all the nations. And you've made it into a money-making racket. And Annas and others in the high priest family owned the stalls and took a percentage. So you've heard it before politically, haven't you? When religious leaders cream off and arrange with the ruling authorities to do it. Okay? So that's one thing. Anything else someone would like to... Can you put your hand up? Anything that you... Right, over this way, Zoe. It's Gaynor, and then we'll have one down here, would be Laurie. So Gaynor and then Laurie. Mama G. Sorry, I should say to you. Sorry.
Thank you. Praise God. What impresses me from the story of Palm Sunday is that Jesus knew what was coming up, and yet he still showed his love for everybody. I wonder how many, knowing the end, would be able to accept the beginning. But that impresses me quite a lot.
That's lovely, thank you. And Laurie, would you like to have a go? Sorry. And we can learn from one another out of the mouths of babes. So, okay, what do you think you could learn?
Thank you.
got it together. Have a go. Very thoughtful here. Do you want to check with Mum and then come back and say it? Go and check with Mummy and then come back and tell us. What do you think you can learn?
The story, I think it's good because it's inspiring and it talks about God that loves us and he always will.
Thank you very much. If you were at Ofsted, we'd mark you up as understanding something in the story. Have a go. Do you want to go?
Always trust in Jesus because he knows what's best.
Thank you, darling. Well done. Well done for being courageous. You didn't tell her. That's good. I learned something about courage.
This story?
Jesus was very brave, wasn't he? He was very brave. Anything else anybody's desperate to say? Where are you? Can you go and ask Pauline? Quickly. You know Pauline. Don't tell me you don't know Pauline. I really worry.
One of the things I learnt from this is humility. God, Jesus came as a humble person.
Okay,
he didn't.
You. Everybody know what humble means? He wasn't snobby, right? He didn't think he was always the best. He was humble. Yeah, Zoe, you can have a last go. And you got the mic, woman.
I think I've also learned that it's easy to make friends with Jesus if you go forward and you actually go, okay, well, I'm going to do it. But if you, like some friends, some people just go, okay, I'll be friends with you, but then they just step back and say, no, I'm not the friend, and they find another friend, which is not a very good friendship.
Okay.
Like some of my friends.
It's a long way. You keep practicing, you'll be preaching soon.
Jay, could you just repeat what she said, because we couldn't hear?
Well, she learnt something about friendship, and you can always be friends with Jesus. Some people you make friends with, and then you sort of, you know, they go away, or they let you down, or something like that. But you can always make friends with Jesus, and he won't let you down, really. So you can trust him, that was what you said. All those things you learnt about God's love, humility. There's so much, isn't there? Jesus wasn't a physical warrior leading people out on a war horse, but there was a battle which was against injustice. Okay? Crowds can be fickle. That's a funny word. Reg used to say, the fickle finger of fate. Fickle, they can one minute, as Zoe said, crowds like you, and the next minute they don't like you. And some in this crowd could be bought. So one week they loved him, another week people could pay them money and they could say, no, get rid of him. Okay? So crowds can be fickle. What I want us to remember is that these people had hope in Jesus, that he would change things in the world that were wrong. Okay, and many people believe that Jesus is still doing that. But every generation has to see the kingdom of God come in its time. And we have to pray for Jesus to be king in our society and our world. And some people are going to hold the banners in a minute, but we're at the front. Who's not held a banner from the children today? Anybody, any of the children not held a banner? Okay, that's all right, then I just want to see everybody has a fair go. We're going to sing that wonderful song, and it has two verses. It's about Jesus going up to Jerusalem, then the second verse is that Jesus is coming down, because one day Jesus is coming back again, okay? But we go into this week thinking about what Jesus did and the joy, but also that there was a sad time ahead of him because he had to win the battle on the cross. So we're going to sing this and then I'll say a last prayer. So if you'd like to hold a banner at the front, if you can stand, I suggest you do, and we'll sing Becca, if we may, if you'd lead us through this song once. Thanks, love.
Going Jerusalem.